Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hi everyone, we couldn't start this week's episode without mentioning what is happening in the world right now. We feel that right now we need to use our platform to support Black Lives Matter.
It's more important than ever to show support, and so we'd love to encourage you to also help in any way that you can.
Whether that's shouting out about it on social media, attending protests, educating yourselves, or donating money.
Some charities to support are Black Emotional Mental Health, Minnesota Freedom Fund, George Floyd Memorial Fund, Colour of Change, UK Black Pride, the Movement of Black Lives, and there are so many more charities out there, so please get on Google and have a little search.
Yeah, there are so many articles right now like telling you where you can donate your money. Some books that would be good to read are Me and White Supremacy by Layla F. Saad, Why I'm No Longer Talking to White People About Race by Reni Edo Lodge, Natives by Akala, How to Argue with a Racist by Adam Rutherford. There are so many books out there. There are so many resources. Everyone's shouting out about it right now. So go onto social media, go onto the internet, go onto Google, do your searching, do your research. Basically, we just need to try and do everything that we can to educate ourselves right now.
And if books aren't really your thing, there are so many great podcasts and audiobooks out there that can help you understand.
Yeah, I think Why I'm No Longer Talking to White People About Race is actually a podcast now.
We will be putting up an infographic on our Instagram, so please check that out. We will be linking all the resources we've mentioned today and more. So please, don't stay silent.
The most important thing is to take our actions into real life.
You're listening to Fucks Given, the one with just us.
Hello, curious fuckers. I'm Reed.
And I'm Florence. And together, we're Come Curious.
When we're not just fucking around on YouTube and Instagram.
Every Thursday, we invite a new guest onto Fucks Given to talk about their best fucks, worst fucks.
And the fucks that made them.
We also answer your sex questions and read out your sex stories.
So stay tuned as we divulge all the delicious details.
What? Aren't you lucky, you guys? You get to listen to just Florence and us again.
Woo! What? It's been a little while. It has been a little while since it has just been us on the podcast, though. Like, we did our own episodes last summer, and it's now summer 2020.
Yeah, we'll probably do like a little individual update once a year where you get to hear from just Florence and I.
Yeah.
And obviously we love doing these episodes because we love the sounds of our voice.
Oh, we love the sounds of our own voices.
Why do you think we have a YouTube channel?
I listen to our podcast every single day to get me to sleep.
Oh my God. I was actually going to ask, do you? Do you though? I can't even listen to ours back, like, which is really bad and I really should, but I'm like, I've already lived it once. Don't make me relive that.
I listen to our podcast back so I can make sure we don't say any shit that we want removed.
See, where would I be without you, Florence? I need you here. Otherwise, I'd probably just sound like a stupid twat.
Well.
Well.
Yeah, because also, I think sex changes, we change.
Yes.
So obviously, our fucks, our sexual experiences are going to change, and we're going to have new things to talk about all the time, and we want to talk about what we've been up to because we love talking about our own sex lives.
Yeah, we literally love talking about ourselves all the time. I mean, like, that's all Florence and I talk to each other about.
Yeah, pretty sex, much
showing each other our vaginas.
Fuck number one,
the last fuck.
Last fuck. So wait, so this is like Mine was like during quarantine. Would yours be before quarantine?
Mine is a mysterious time and space in the space-time continuum where it's a mystery.
I think you just baited yourself up by saying mystery.
So on that note, Reed, but what was your last fuck?
Well, I live with my partner. I also live with my sister, which I've come to the conclusion that that's why we don't have much sex as we want
think?
To. Because, yeah, my sister's room is literally next door and I can hear her and she can hear me.
Yeah, I guess that would put you off. I think yeah. I would be put off if my sister was next door yeah. and she could always hear.
And she's just, you know, Thomas isn't that loud, so she'd just be hearing me like, ah, ah, and she'd be like, oh, God, and then have to, like, awkwardly put in some headphones and try and drown me out, fuck's sake.
Do you think that's what Thomas, like, thinks as well?
No, he doesn't give a fuck. Which is complicated, because, obviously, I care, and I don't want to care, because my sister's, like, super cool about sex. She's like, yeah, if you ever want free time, just let me know, I'll just put some headphones in, but then that means you've got to plan the sex, and... When yeah. you're in a long relationship, planning sex is, like, such a boner killer.
Yeah, scheduling is not the one. You want yeah. nice, spontaneous sex. Although, scheduling, I mean, it is really important, I think, when you're in a long-term relationship. But yeah. it does take the spontaneity and the kind of, like, ooh, romance out of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like with any sex. Like, if you've just got that same format, that same routine, it does become boring, even if it is really good. But I do think that you might have to have a routine if you have busy lives or, you know, you've got children and you literally only have, like, half an hour to slot it in once a week. So, yeah, Thomas and I was thinking, like, lockdown, amazing. We're going to fuck all day, every day. And that was just not the case. We started off, I was like, oh my God, I'm getting laid once a week now. And then 2 weeks in, I was like, oh wait, no, we've just gone back to our normal routine. but trying really hard not to put pressure on the situation is like, why are you not fucking me? God, why are you not? Why? Mm. You know, it's not fair. And that's not fair on him. But the last time we fucked, I don't remember. I think I definitely still put pressure on the situation because I was like, we haven't had sex in a while. Wink, wink, oh, hint, hint.
Yes.
Which probably shouldn't happen, but he was on the same page and I was like, yeah, you know, we're right. And then it was like, I was getting already, I was already naked in bed. I did that dumb thing, you know, and you like roll over and you jokingly lie there floppy, but with your face down and arse up, like, okay, do uh-huh. me now. And he was uh-huh. like, ha, 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 ha. But then he did. And then we also did some face fucking because this was just after our, or maybe it was just before our video. I can't remember. Oh. We put up a YouTube video about face fucking, but we had to call it face thrusting because of YouTube. And so, yeah, we did some of that and that was really hot. And he, oh, that was it. He was a bit nervous because he was like, oh, like I'm not washed, I'm not clean. And that's something that really comes up when you're with a partner. And you get like overthink yourself a lot, like especially like morning breath and stuff. And so he was like, no, you don't want to put my dick in your mouth. And I was like, yes, I do. It's kind of hot when it's kind of a little bit stank because I want to like fight against it and try and fight away. And I want you to ram it down my throat.
Oh, you like it when it's stanky?
Yeah, sometimes, depends on the mood. Oh. Not always. And I mean, compared his stank dick compared to other stank dick that I have has been like, you know, his is like golden. I will quite happily yeah. take his stank dick.
Yeah.
Which isn't stinky at all or like doesn't taste funny. He fucking washes like a pro, man. Like he's the only guy I've been with that actually looks like actually washes his dick right.
That's so good.
Hence why I locked him down for 6.5 years. But yeah, we
could get one that washes their dick, then yeah, lock them down.
Fucking put a ring on it. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that was like the exciting part and then we just went on to the regular fucking.
my last fuck, like my last fucks have been like very amazing. I've like it's been that sort of sex where you find someone that is super connected with you and you have just like you've got like a lock and key situation. The dick is Brill, basically.
It's like a Brillo pad.
And, and it hits exactly the right spots. And like, it's the sort of sex where you could actually fuck for hours because it feels so fucking amazing. And you kind of like transport yourself into like some other kind of like galaxy whilst you're fucking.
Like out of body just, experiences.
Like, it's like, It's so surreal because both of us are just like, fuck, this feels so good. It feels so good. Like the whole way through, basically.
And you're like, I just don't want this to end. But you have to because your vagina's like, stop. Please stop now. Like, I am swollen and angry, yet my brain still wants more.
Literally. But we have also been kind of naughty and been using the pull-out method.
Yeah, we really wanted to do a video on the pull-out method because we do not support it. In terms of, we're not suggesting anyone does the pull-out method because it is still really fucking risky, and there are a lot of people around the world that think that they won't get pregnant and they don't do the acceptable means to be careful. And again, there are a lot of people that are still against Planned Parenthood and abortions. There are a lot of people that if they got pregnant they would keep it, and it's not the right time in their life, as in, you know, mentally being able to cope with an abortion. It's all fine and well and dandy being like, oh, it's fine, I'll get an abortion. But an abortion can play havoc on your mind and your mental health. You have to be 100% sure that if, you know, you were accidentally pregnant, that you and your partner could both handle it.
Yeah.
We both use the app Clue, and there are quite a lot of good ovulation apps out there. I have also been doing research into, like, ovulation apps using your information to, you know, in the wrong way, but that's a whole nother story.
That's another thing. The apps are really good for tracking when you're not on birth control, because you have like a rough estimate of like when you're ovulating, so you can make sure you're extra careful when you're ovulating. And then, I mean, when you're using the pull-out method, I wouldn't ever let them come inside me the whole, like, any part of my cycle, but it's good to know when it's more risky.
So the risk is obviously if they come inside you, but the main risk and why we shouldn't use the pull-out method, even if they do pull out, it's because if they've had a wank or if you've had sex a couple of days beforehand, then sperm can still live in their, you know, in the tubes between their testicles and up their penis. So the next time that they do have pre-cum, not even just cum, pre-cum, that can hold a live sperm, because sperm can stay alive for up to 5 days inside the human body.
But I looked this up on Planned Parenthood when I went off the birth control pill, and I was like, I don't want to use condoms. and this was like 2 years ago or something. And the Planned Parenthood said that basically... the pre-cum only has sperm in it when the person hasn't pissed in between.
Yeah, so you're pissing.
Don't quote me on
out.
That. I don't know if that's actually fact, but that's what I read. And so, like, you just need to make sure, like, if you had a wank, that you've had a piss in between actually having sex again, because otherwise you will definitely have sperm in your pre-cum.
Yeah, I mean, we said the same thing. It was... when we had sex, and he was like, I was like, oh, when was the last time you wank? And he said 2 days ago. And I was like, well, therefore we could be it could be a little bit risky. But 2 days ago means that he's pissed quite a few times before then. Yeah. And I'm not saying there is no risk, but the risk is dramatically lowered.
Yeah.
But of course, it only takes that one motherfucking sperm to hit that one point in your egg to actually find your egg to make you pregnant. Mm-hmm. And miracles can fucking happen, man.
Yeah. Well, when I was in my teens, a friend got pregnant on pre-cum. So.
Wow. Wow, that's so incredible.
Mm-hmm. We're not going to be talking about our first fucks, because we have already spoken about our first fucks, and those fucks don't really change, you know? So you can go listen to those in our original episodes, which you can find if you scroll back like a year or something.
Yeah, or you can find them on our YouTube channel. We talk about our first fucks on there quite a bit, and you can see our faces.
Fuck three. The best fuck.
I don't know about you, but I've realised recently that if whenever I have a good new sexual experience, I'm like, that was the best fuck.
Yeah.
And I like almost forget about all the other really great times.
Yeah.
Like there was, I had some really, really good sex this year, actually. Some really good sex. And like almost every new partner that I had, I was like, this is the best fuck. So like the first one, he like went down on me and like gave me the most amazing cunnilingus ever, and I was like, this is the best fuck, because it's the best cunnilingus I've ever experienced.
Yeah.
And then like with this other guy, I was experiencing like all these new kind of like kinky things that I hadn't really got to experience. So I like experimented with like lactation play, a bit of like dorm and kink stuff, and like their cock was just like amazing and in a great fit, and the sex felt really good, and it was really experimental, which I was definitely craving. I was like, this is definitely the best fuck. And then my latest partner as well, I've just had this amazing like connection spiritual sex, and it just like feels good constantly, and I'm like, now that was the best fuck. So I don't know what like my actual best fuck is anymore, because I've just actually just had really great sex since my breakup.
Like, yeah, so I mean, that is super lucky, because it's so hard to have good sex. But that also, I think, shows like where you are mentally. It's like what Nina said in the last episode, being like, you can never really have a bad fuck. You can make any bad situation good if you want it to be that way. If you have that whole like comfortability and, you know, making like the best out of the worst type situation, you know, especially if somebody's awkward or it's not like they're not as good, you can make it good. You can make it fun. You can steer the way to have great sex.
Yeah.
And I think when we're like, you know, when we're younger and when we're teens, it means we get so caught up in ourselves and so caught up on like the way that we are and the way that we look. And that can really get in the way of just enjoying such a, you know, great, pleasurable experience.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You fully have to let go. I think that's what I've really learned for all these like really amazing fucks, is that I haven't been in my head during these sex. I'm just like, because I've become really confident with myself like since the breakup, and it has changed the game. Like, it's made me feel free, I guess, like during sex, and able to express myself, make whatever noise I want, like not worry about what my body looks like, and just really enjoy the moment.
Yeah, I think that's easier as well with new partners. I feel like, yes, there is an element of comfortability when you do have a long relationship, but it ends up like backfiring on yourselves, and you end up do feeling awkward and do overthinking things, which is not fair. It's like completely the opposite of what you should be doing.
Especially when you're like trying to like try new things together. I think in a relationship, it's really hard to suddenly be like, oh, could we experiment with this? Because you're so used to seeing each other like in a particular way. It was like when me and my ex like had FaceTime sex for like the first time when he was away in Ibiza. And I was like, it just felt so weird and awkward to start off with, because I was like, we've never done this before. Like, it just felt wrong.
Yeah. Sex is weird, isn't it? People are fucking weird. We're so complicated.
Isn't it?
Sex is fucking weird. Like, why are we so complicated and harsh about it when it should just be like a complete like exploration and non-judgment worthy and non-shameful? And it still so is. It's so messed up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still trying to think of a best fuck, but I don't want to say the time old tale of like with my partner, but that was an out of body experience fuck. Probably like one of my most memorable would be like this nipple orgasm, you know, when he played with my nipples so much that I had like some out of body experience. I was also fucking high off of weed as well, which probably helped. and we were
I
in
really
his like
want to have high sex.
Yeah, especially lockdown is the time to get fucking high. Just careful if you're in the UK or if you're in a country that it isn't legal, not because it means that you're doing something illegal, but it means that you don't really know what you're smoking. I mean, I remember we were in this fucking tiny single bed while he was at university, and I remember he was behind me and like rubbed like his, so he was kind of like, it was almost like a behind hug, but instead of hugging me, he was like, his fingers are just like rubbing my nipples, and I was trying to like, I was almost like pleasure overload, like trying to get away, because I was like, oh my God, you know, and your whole body's going, but he just kept going. And I was just like, oh God. And then you finally hit that point where you're like exploding. You're just like, what the hell? Yeah. But that's kind of what needs to happen a lot of the time, is to push yourself out of that comfort boundary of like, no, like, yes, I'm oversensitive, but also that's kind of how you get to places like squirting and nipple orgasms, is like really pushing your limits. And oh God, it was so hot.
Yeah. I think like all my best fucks have like something in common, and that's mainly people that are people, the partners are all interested in my pleasure and like to make me feel the best ever, and they get off on making me feel good. Like the partners that are like, yeah, I get off on seeing you orgasm, like I want to see you having pleasure, that's what all of these best fucks have in common, like 100%. And then also good cunnilingus for me.
Yeah I think good intentions to learn more about your body and what you like is just, you can't go wrong with that. And it doesn't make you look like you don't know what you're doing. It makes you look like almost like more mature and like you know what you're doing because you're asking.
It's the hottest thing ever. My latest partner was really intrigued to like learn more about Kenneth Play, who we did our porn film with for tips and tricks for sucking clits or licking clits. I mean, you can suck them, it's also good. But he was super keen to like learn more about that. So we watched some of Kenneth Play's tutorials together, and it was so like hot and like liberating. Amazing, like, to like sit together and learn how to make someone squirt.
That's so fucking good. Like when you actually it's not even like when you sit down and watch porn together. It's like when you sit down and watch something informational together and you're both learning together. You're like, wow, this is cool. Would you like that? I don't know. Let's try it.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
So if you curious fuckers love our podcast, Fucks Given, you are going to love one of my favorite podcasts, actually, Confidently Insecure with Kelsey. It is amazing. And she covers loads of topics, actually, that we really enjoy talking about.
Yeah.
Like, thank you, guys.
Sisters from so many different misters here. Like, we are just ripping. I don't know what the word is, but you just need to check out her podcast because we love this girl. Like, I cannot wait for the day where we can meet each other in 3D and hug.
And fuck.
I know.
You guys have to come over to Confidently Insecure. We're the podcast where we're absolutely sure we don't know everything. This podcast is a safe space for you to come and ask the dumb questions so we can all learn and become better humans. Everything from politics to sex work to vaginal health to brain science. Come on, come take a listen anywhere where podcasts are played.
Oh my God, I need to listen about brain science when I'm fascinated.
It's intense.
Yeah, definitely go and check it out. You are going to love it.
Yeah, if you love us, you'll love her. Faux show.
Fuck number four.
The worst fuck. Worst fuck, but obviously mine hasn't changed. Worst but we should fuck. talk about it.
You know when you're like trying to go to sleep late at night and then you get that thought that pops into your head that kind of like makes you wake up a bit and it's like, oh yeah, that thing happened or that thing.
Yeah.
And like I've been thinking about a lot of like shitty fucks that I thought that I thought were amazing.
Yeah.
Especially like drug induced fucks where I fucked someone at a festival and then thought I fell in love and then was like completely heartbroken for like 2 weeks afterwards. And just thinking that they were good when realizing that actually, no, it was probably a piece of shit because I was like off my face and I don't remember shit.
Yeah.
But not in like a non-consensual way, in like a very consensual way. I was consensually doing that.
Yeah.
I wanted to do that.
It's kind of, it's kind of random thinking of those situations. I had this guy
who I was sleeping with after breaking up with my partner when I was 19. Mm. And he had a very sizable penis. And every time we had sex, I would bleed afterwards.
Yeah.
And I didn't really know how I felt about it at the time, because I don't know why it was happening. It's probably because we weren't like using lube and stuff as well, and like I feel like when you have a big cock you need to use lube,
otherwise
there's too much friction there and you are gonna tear something. But there was one time, like, I did really really like this guy, but he was quite like masculine, very like macho, and there was one morning that he woke up and he kind of just sort of got on top of me and started fucking me. And I don't know what had switched in my brain, because obviously, like, I had consented to sex with him. Like, I wanted to go home with him kind of situation. There was just this one time where he kind of got on me and he started fucking me. He had, like, a vein throbbing in his forehead. Oh, and I was literally just lying there like a dead fish, because I didn't want this to be happening and it was hurting. And, like, I think it was probably, like, sore from the night before.
Oh, the pain.
And I didn't say anything. And afterwards, I remember, like, turning over and literally shaking. Like, I felt like I was trembling. And he was just like, oh, are you okay? Like, after the fact.
Yeah.
Even though, like, during sex, I was just sort of lying there, like, fuck, what is happening?
Yeah, well, that is non-consensual sex. Like, that could definitely be considered rape.
Yeah, but it's also... It's the gray area, because obviously I had never not consented to sex with him, and usually we would have had sex in the morning. There was nothing like different to this situation different. And I don't even know what it is to this day. Like, when I look back at it, I don't know what about that one time made me scared.
I think that's probably the fact that you were scared and you didn't know why made the whole situation more scary.
Yeah.
Because we forget that, like, we can consent to something but also stop consenting to something halfway through the act.
Yeah.
And that is still okay to do, because our brains can go from switching, like, to one thing, liking it, into one thing not. It'd be like going and seeing a film that you're really excited to see and halfway through being like, no, this is shit, I want to get out.
Yeah.
And it's exactly the same. I mean, it's shame on him for not picking up on your signs and for asking you if you were okay during. But at that time, and I imagine it was a while ago, like, we didn't know about all of this consent issues. We weren't taught it at school. It's only recently in the last couple of years that it's become more common and it's more obvious. Like,
I think he was only he was only the fourth person I'd ever slept with as well. And I definitely didn't know anything about, like, consent, and I didn't know how to put my own boundaries in place. I mean, there's been so many situations like that, that there's been weird situations where I haven't been able to say no when I didn't want something to happen, but because of the relationship I had with that person, it didn't feel like I could say it, which is crazy.
Because,
like,
crazy.
I feel like if you know that person, you should be able to say it more.
Yeah.
You should be able to say, like, please stop, like, respect me.
Yeah. Thank God that information is changing and it's becoming less taboo to talk about sex, and, you know, schools are bringing it up, especially at a younger age. Like, I don't think consent should be just taught to 11 and 12-year-olds. It should be taught to, like, as soon as kids can talk.
Yeah. We should talk... Yeah, we should constantly be talking about consent when it comes to everything as well. And I think... Yeah, if you have, like, any friends, just talk about, like, have a conversation about consent and, like, things that has happened to them in the past, because it's really good to, like, talk about these things openly, because you realize that it's happened to you more than you'd think it would, and it kind of gives you that kind of, like, gusto to be like, actually, I'm not going to let this happen again.
Yeah. It's hard as well, because with sex, a lot of it is to do with pleasure, and you think you're getting pleasure from it, like with penetration. Like, I've definitely had a circumstance where I went back to a guy's house and we had sex, and then in the morning I remember he was like, I was so horny and he was like trying to put it in me, but I was like, oh no, I want you to do it with a condom. But because there's that element of like, I really, really, I'm so horny, I just want your dick inside me. And he's like rubbing it up against me, but I'm like, no, I need a condom. But then I was like, oh, fuck it, put it in anyway. And then afterwards you're like, well, that was fucking stupid.
So stupid.
Your own pleasure gets in the way and you don't know how to speak up at the time.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that you asked for it and they did not respond is so bad. If someone asks you to use a condom, go and fucking get that condom and put it on your dick.
Yeah,
like, or there is no excuse.
Put it on your vagina. You know, protection is safe. Like, we can't just say it's... I'm sure that there are loads of guys out there that even feel it's harder to say. Like, you know, if a guy's getting a condom out and the girl's like, oh, no, I don't like condoms, then they almost feel obligated not to put that condom on.
Yeah.
And then there's that fear of like, oh, my God, well, does she want to get pregnant? What if something happens? What if she's got an STI? It's so fucking hard to speak up about that.
That's so true.
Especially as a man.
But like, if you're a guy and you want to use a condom, put the fucking condom on. Like, don't. Wait, don't just, if someone says don't put a condom on and you want to put a condom on, just do it anyway.
But then what if you've got them conflicting thoughts that are like, yeah, but it's going to feel so much better without a condom, but the risk.
This is how STIs get spread, guys.
STIs and children get maids when in unhappy couples that don't want to have fucking kids.
Fuck number five,
the fuck that made me.
Oh God, I'm still waiting for that fuck. I want to have that devil's threesome with two guys. Like, I've been.
Oh my God, Nina Tarr was talking about last week. I was like, that is the dream.
Yeah,
three guys just like randomly inviting you into a foursome,
and like three safe and well communicative guys.
Yeah,
that are in it for her pleasure. I was like, when does that ever happen? That's your own
worshiping
porn film.
Literally.
And just asking, hey, is this okay? And she was like, fuck yeah.
Yeah, oh my God, yeah, please can that happen to me in my life.
Yeah, I'm gonna put it on my, like, I'm gonna put it manifest on my list to Santa. I have been a good girl
You been a good girl?
Fucking definitely not. When have I ever been a good girl? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, well, obviously last time we spoke about this, my like fuck that changed me was this like kinky experience and stuff like that. But I feel like maybe the fuck that changed me was the first fuck after my relationship. Like, I was in a relationship for 4.5 years, and I can tell you, like, when I got out of that relationship, I felt like a virgin again.
Oh yeah.
That's what I should have spoken about for my first time.
I felt like a virgin, but I wasn't.
And then just having sex with someone else that was super, super communicative, there for me, there for my pleasure, a friend, someone that was supporting me through my breakup, and that was a game changer. Like, meeting someone that was just, I don't know, like, just such a nice person and amazing at cunnilingus. Like, it was and also receiving a game changing cunnilingus, that's epic.
I have yet to have game-changing cunnilingus, and I think a lot of it is stuff that's in my own mind is not allowing me to have, because I get so like self-conscious from, you know, like from my teenage years of like, oh yeah, well, I'm not gonna come, and therefore you get caught up inside your own head, and it's not really, and then you overthink like what your pussy looks like whether or not I shaved properly, left a tuft of hair, whether it's spotty down there. I don't know about you, but shaving once a week and the hot summer sun, I'm getting so many pussy and arse spots, like,
oh
proper
my
big,
God,
like acne.
Me too.
Yeah,
I've got like 5 spots on one butt cheek right now.
Yeah, on the butt cheek, and it's because we're like sitting down and getting sweaty, I swear. Oh
yeah, yeah, it's so bad. So, and like, I started getting spots like in my pubes as well. I was like,
like,
why?
Really bad ingrown hairs with like bare pus, and you're just like, oh fuck off, just why can't I be pristine? But also, we're never gonna be pristine. Our skin is so incredible, and it's a whole fucking organ. Of course it's gonna have issues.
True. Actually, one thing I wanted to say about this game-changing fuck was what made it so game-changing was the communication.
Yeah.
And being very, like, open with what was feeling good, what wasn't feeling good, like, being okay to say, like, if his dick was, like, too deep, like, say, so it, like, you're not uncomfortable. Like, don't just deal with the pain. And then also eye contact. This was, like, a really, really new thing for me, and it was something that he was really into, and I'd never been seen like that during sex ever. It felt like it felt uncomfortable the first time.
I was gonna say eye contact's like, hard.
Once I got into it, I was just like, wow, like, this is how you have connected sex, like, because you actually need to see each other. Like, sex where you're not looking at each other, that's not connected.
Yeah. That's like, well, you're thinking about something else, for sure.
Exactly.
Which I do. I'm guilty of that.
Look into each other's eyes properly and see each other. This is the person that you are fucking. Like, I think it was so game-changing, realizing that just this one small thing during sex could change everything.
I definitely had that with my ex, who would be like, look at me. And I was like... looking just straight into his eyes,
because you feel kind of like quite it is hard because you feel vulnerable.
Yeah,
you feel
vulnerable.
Very vulnerable. You're
especially
naked
when your eyes are rolling. You're like, well, I can't see you up there.
True.
I was thinking about the fuck that changed my life. I can't even remember what it's called anymore.
Change the game, change your life.
I think it was definitely when I started exploring rape role play. And I think that is such a, like, it's a hard subject to talk about because it can be quite triggering for a lot of people. But rape role play is basically like sub-dom role play, except it goes to the extremes. And, you know, I'm not condoning any kind of non-consensual behaviour. This is consensual, non-consensual role play. So it's the idea of, you know, someone coming into your home and kidnapping you and holding you down. And the only person I could explore that with was with my partner.
Yeah.
Because I felt comfortable enough to go to those extremes. I don't know if I could have done that with anyone else. And that was a real, real game changer. It was like, it's my favorite thing to do, and I still love doing it now. And I just love feeling completely helpless and out of control, but also putting those elements in there. Like, we went to the extremes, you know, we sort of had like major safe words, and there would be fighting and kicking and pushing away and honestly trying to like run out the room and still being like grabbed and pulled back. Even now it's turning me on, but that's not to say that it's a turn on for everyone. Like, I know that I'm into quite extreme kinks. And I know that there are a lot of people out there that are, but I'm not saying that everyone likes this at all. And it's also so important to do with someone you feel completely 100% safe enough to say, okay, when I say this word, like, you stop. And like, also you check in on me if I'm okay, you know? I like them extremes. Yeah, that was a real game changer. Like, wow, I can do something that's considered so violent and horrific and extreme and yet do it in a safe space and enjoy it fully for both of us.
Yeah.
That was like, wow, shit. Anything can happen if it's consensual.
Yeah. Yeah, that's incredible. How did you have that, like, first conversation with your partner to say this is something that you wanted to experiment with?
I mean, I think I said it pretty early on because I knew what I wanted.
Yeah.
Especially as I remember talking about sex a lot when we first started seeing each other, and that was what I wanted during sex. So, like, you know, before sex, during sex, and after, I would say, you know, I want things a little bit harder. And, oh, do you like spitting in the face? No. Do you like choking? Yes. Do you like hair pulling? Like, not really. It really went back and forth a lot. Especially this whole like sex debrief. You'd do something extreme like that and you'd be like, oh my god, how was that for you? Like, oh yeah, I thought it was really hot when you did this, but when you were slapping my ass, not so sure about that. Or like, I remember at the time with my partner, he enjoyed that himself, but he felt so guilty for enjoying it that it took a long time of talking and feeling safe enough to make him feel comfortable to be able to do it. Because of course he's brought up with this idea that it's wrong and forbidden and like, you're a bad person for enjoying that. And I think he felt guilty for a long, long time.
I think a lot of guys do feel that, because it is something you've you've been brought up saying it's bad to hit women, obviously. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So like when someone says in the bedroom, can you hit me? Yeah. Like, cause that's going to really turn me on. They're like going against like everything that they've learned from like when they were a kid to be like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And like that, how is this supposed to turn me on? Because like, I never thought that was okay. And then like the guilt there would be massive if they did enjoy it.
Yeah. I mean, and it's same with like being a feminist. How can you enjoy something like that? But it's nothing to do with the actual act. It's to do with like the safety that you have with that person and the connection that you have and the gut feeling that you have. And of course, you need to still be aware that during something like that, something extreme, you can still change your mind and still not enjoy it. But you both need to be communicative enough to be like, hey, whoa, this is going somewhere else that I don't really like. Yeah. Or maybe today I don't really fancy it, even though I really enjoyed it last time. I think it just takes a lot of like communication, not just verbally, but with your body, with your movements, checking in on each other.
That's incredible, finding someone that you could trust yourself with like that. It's just another level.
It is amazing.
For fuck's sake.
This week's sex question is, I was wondering if there is any advice you have for me when it comes to re-entering the dating field after being in a long-term monogamous relationship. I have dated my boyfriend for 3 years and I don't know adult life without him. We've decided to break up because I want to travel and work overseas, whereas he doesn't. I haven't really ever been single for a long time, and the habit of being dependent on people I date as opposed to being totally self-reliant. Now I feel as though I view dating as just connecting with someone mentally and physically, hopefully. I don't want to be monogamous with anyone or give any label to anything, nor do I want to have a long-term relationship while I figure myself out. How can I enter the dating field with this mindset for the first time? Do you have any advice for me? Any precautionary steps I should take to avoid relying on someone I like? Or any advice about how to enjoy and get the most out of this time in my life? That's kind of amazing. Like, I feel like that's a very similar mindset as to how I entered being single as well. Yeah. Just like, this time is for me and I want to make some good connections along the way, but like, ultimately, me always.
Yes, and experience life. Because when you're with a partner, you don't get that same opportunity. A lot of it's like self-discovery and it sounds like a really mature way of thinking about relationships. And I'm really glad that they've actually plucked up the courage to separate because they want to explore different things, even though that's a hard decision to make. Like, ultimately, that will be the best decision for you. Like, you don't necessarily regret it, as scary as it was.
Yeah. And I think like you have to be open to learning about yourself and learning not to rely on someone isn't going to be easy because it's your kind of default. Like, I think it was my default as well. And you just have to basically keep checking yourself and making sure that you're not spending all your time thinking about this new person that like comes into your life and be like, actually, wait, I need to like step back and think about me, arrange things for me, like go and see friends, do work, like whatever you can really get your sort of like hands on to do you and not be thinking about this person all the time. It's in a way like it's learning how to be a little bit more selfish
and self-sufficient and like less codependent. And I mean, selfish, I feel like such a bad word, but it really isn't in this instance. You know, you have to look after your number one, because if you don't look after number one, then you can't look after and help other people. Especially with the dating game, there is no harm in going out and being, I mean, we're huge about being honest on dating apps, like basically saying upfront what you're looking for, what you want, what's happened, and just saying like, hey, I'm not looking for a relationship, I'm looking for connections and you know, experiences that are going to help educate me and help experience life more.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I was going to say it all comes down to communicating honestly with everyone that you come in contact with and that you want to explore like connections with. Like, you need to say at the beginning, like, look, this is what I'm looking for. These are my boundaries. I don't want to like put a label on anything. And it's about sticking to what you first believe in, because it's easy to like get sucked into a new relationship, but you have to really sort of stop and think, actually, like, what do I want in this situation? And why did I become single? And what, like, why did I make that choice? And really, really stick to your own feelings that you had before and continue remembering them.
It's up to you when you want to say that. You know, you could literally have it on your dating profile and, you know, wean out all the people that might not be interested in the same things, or you could do it during conversation, or do it just when you meet them, especially when COVID's over. I mean, we would say, like, also never spend too long messaging somebody. If you have the opportunity, when all the lockdown things are lifted, depending on what's going on legally in your country, then I would say meet up or have a phone conversation or go on a virtual date where you video call each other as soon as possible. So you're not just sitting there typing to each other. You know, it makes a huge difference speaking to someone. I don't want to say in person. I mean, like, virtually. And when this is all over, then hopefully, then yeah, in person. Because otherwise you might be wasting your time for like days, if not weeks. And you go and meet them, or you go to fuck them, and it's not right.
It depends where you are now, but in quite a few countries, I think you're allowed to meet people outside. So you can kind of see if you have that kind of connection or like actual physical interest in them anyway. I was just going to say, really, it's just, it all comes down to honesty and being open with them and yourself.
Yeah, lockdown's such a good way to like meet up with somebody outside and decide if you want to fuck them. So there's no obligation there. It's not like, hey, you want to go to a bar and then you get drunk and hey, do you want to come back to mine? It's like, hey, do you want to go to the park and, you know, meet each other at a park? And like, oh, okay, well, that's cool. You are nice. I'm going to go home now.
Yeah, exactly. I hope those are some good tips. There's so much to say on that. And like, if you're interested in any of that stuff, really, like, follow my discovery diaries over on our Instagram on IGTV, because I'm talking about a lot of those things, to be honest, because we're going through the same journey right now.
Fucking hell.
This week's sex story is, I bought a really cute / sexy lingerie set to surprise my boyfriend with. As I was deciding on a fun way to surprise him, I discovered that my winter coat was just long enough to cover my bum and lower region. I then thought it might be a great surprise to go to his place and literally just in my lingerie, with only my winter coat to cover me. He cooks me a delicious foods all the time, so I thought also I'll make him dinner for the night as his little sexy maid.
Oh.
So I dolled myself up, put my coat on, and proceeded to go on public transit. I was pretty turned on knowing I had nothing under my coat, while also doing my best not to accidentally flash someone, especially whilst I was sitting. I get to his house and he welcomes me in, none the wiser. I tell him to look at me and I take off my coat, revealing my new lingerie underneath, and ask him what he thinks. In my mind, I thought he would love it, compliment me, I'd cook dinner in it, and then we'd have a nice bang session afterwards, but nope. As soon as he saw what was under my coat, his eyes literally lit up and he pounced on me. He started groping me everywhere, bent me over his desk, and started slapping my ass, telling me what a good little slut I was. In brackets, I'm super into that.
Aww.
He fucked me right, and then there and then on his desk. It was so fucking hot just to see him switch like that. Nothing turns me on more than someone who can literally can't control keeping their hands off me.
Oh.
A great memory for me, and now I'm thinking I may try surprising him by going to his house completely nude. Lol. P.S. Don't worry, I did bring a bag with me with real clothes in it. I couldn't exactly go to work the next day with just underwear, right? And then she said, P.P.P.S. I took some pictures in the set that I bought because it's really cute and I'm loving my body lately, and I can't exactly share it with anyone else, lol, aside from my boyfriend, of course. And she sent us pics.
Aw, cute. Oh, she looks amazing.
I know. I can't, like, I mean, obviously he would have pounced on her.
Oh my god, yes. Oh, so into it. Love this girl. I love this, like, that confidence as well, getting on public transport in lingerie.
I know.
I don't know if you're on a bus, but, like, especially in London, our buses vibrate at the very back. And I don't know if you've sat on the back of one of those buses. You're sitting there like, oh, God.
Yeah, I've definitely sat on the bus before being like,
Well, hello. It's like we're, like, the old wives' tale of, like, wives sitting on top of their washing, what's it called? Washing machine on spin. And they're like,
Yeah. I love the fact that he just literally turned and was just switched. Like, I'm gonna fuck you now. Oh my god,
yeah, couldn't keep their hands off you. So hot. I thought the story was gonna go somewhere else. I thought it was gonna be like, I turned up and then his family were there and it was really awkward because I only had lingerie and they were like, come in, have a drink.
Can I take your coat?
Yeah.
Imagine.
Well, this has been a lovely little catch-up, Florence.
Oh, such a lovely catch-up.
I've very much enjoyed this, and I hope that you have too, our lovely curious fuckers. We've been doing a lot of content over isolation. What's I going to call it? I was going to call it something else. So we've, like, upped our video output 2 times a week on YouTube. We're doing 2 IGTV videos on Instagram. I mean, we can't promise that when lockdown's over and we go back to actually having lives that we might go back to having a normal amount of videos.
Yeah, we're actually going to try, like, in the future, we're going to try this, like, live stream on YouTube, which will be a kind of version of live Fucks Given, but
it's all slightly different, and
we'll invite a guest on. Maybe some of our, like, favourite guests from Fucks Given will appear on this Curious Fuckers Club online.
Maybe. So exciting. But if you've enjoyed this episode, please do us a solid and share it with everyone you can, including your mama and dad and grandma and grandpa, because they need to listen to. Actually, maybe not this episode. They'll probably be traumatised to what I said.
Yeah, maybe not. I mean, maybe. I don't know.
They might be cool grandparents.
Who the fuck knows? But if you have your own sex question or sex story, please email us at fksgivenpodcast@gmail.com. And remember to follow us on our social media, which is at comecurious, C-O-M-E, and at Florence Bark, and at Reed Amber X.
Yeah, baby, please rate, and can you rate on this, but, like, please do give us a 5-star thing if you're listening to Apple Podcast, and write us a little review, because it really does help us in the ratings, baby.
Plus, we love reading the reviews. It's super sweet.
We do. So massive shout out to all our curious fuckers out there listening to us and holding up during lockdown, still during this weird time. We love you all so, so much.
Love you, and you'll hear us next week.
Bye.
Bye.